Well, thank you for joining us today for Enjoying Everyday Life. You know, I believe that anytime you take time to receive the Word of God, that you're much more likely to enjoy that day than you would a day where you did not give God's Word a place of priority in your life. And so today we're going to teach on Psalm 103. Very wonderful psalm, a little bit lengthy, but I think we can get to most of it. One of the things that amazes me when I study the Word compared to just reading the Word is the amount of different lessons that's in like one chapter of the Bible are in one psalm. You're going to find out today that there's like close to a dozen different lessons in here. And if you just read through something real quickly, you don't really get that. I think it's just there's so much more that we can learn if we'll take time and slow down. And so I actually like to kind of write down the things that I learned. So we're going to get started. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me, bless his holy name. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all of his benefits. Now, this is what I think. I don't know this for sure, but I think David was talking to himself. I think maybe it could have been a morning when David woke up and maybe he didn't feel so hot that morning emotionally, or maybe his body wasn't just exactly cooperating with him that day. I think we forget that the people that God used to write the words that we read in the Bible were people just like us. They were flesh and bone like us. And so I don't know about you, but I have a lot of mornings where I have to talk to myself. Because I find that when I first wake up in the morning, there's a lot of things that I know that I need to do that day that my body's not real interested in at all. And one of them is I weight train 3 days a week, and it's interesting sometimes within the first 3 to 4 minutes when I first open my eyes, I think, well, maybe I'll just call the trainer and tell him I can't go today. And so we have to talk to ourselves. I think a lot of people would improve a lot if they would just go have a meeting with themselves occasionally. So I think we can look at it that way. Maybe David just got up and felt some of the things that we feel, and he said, okay, listen, soul, which is your inner life, and whatever's going in us will come out of us. So he's saying, today we're going to praise the Lord. And I love this verse too. He says, and forget not one of all of his benefits. Do you know how easy it is to complain? I honestly think it would be a major accomplishment if any one human being could get through one whole entire day and not at least murmur just a little bit. We do it so much we don't even realize that we do it. I was reading a book by a gentleman that went to be with the Lord a long time ago, but he was a very, very great man of God. And he said, it's very challenging for us to not murmur. He said, all we have to have is a little bit of food that doesn't suit us, or if the weather doesn't suit us, or if things don't turn out exactly the way that we want it to. And complaining actually is a bigger problem than what we think it is sometimes. And I'm going to show you that today. So David tells himself to praise the Lord. The question is, do we complain more about the things we don't like in our life than we do praising God for the benefits that we have? There's not one of us, myself included, that doesn't need to hear this about 2 or 3 times every day. You all are wonderful, godly people. I know you are because you work for me. So, I mean, you're the most awesome. And people watching today may be very wonderful, godly people. But it would be pretty interesting to see how many people, even in this room, have made it this far today. Right. And not found anything at all to just, you know, we think about complaining, but then there's murmuring. And, you know, the Israelites, they murmured when they were in the wilderness. And so they were there 40 years trying to make an 11-day journey. 40 years trying to make an 11-day trip. And one of their big problems, one of the things that kept them there, was murmuring and complaining. And you're going to see a little bit later why that even happened. But it says that the Israelites complained and their journey took them 40 years. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 9 and 10, we have a New Testament scripture where God is using the example of the Israelites to remind us of how really dangerous it is, because I think that we open a door for the enemy when we complain. I think that when we praise God and give thanks that we're opening the door for God to work in our life. But when we murmur and complain, we're actually inviting the enemy to come in and just give us more of what we already have that we don't like. So it says we should not tempt the Lord, try his patience, and become a trial to him, critically appraising him and exploiting his goodness. So if I'm complaining about my trials, God says, okay, look, you're actually becoming a trial to me. I'm tired of listening to you murmur and complain. I want to hear about the good things that I'm doing in your life. And then it goes on to say, and I'm in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 9 and 10, he said, and they, those of them who exploited God's goodness, were killed by poisonous serpents, nor should we discontentedly complain as some of them did, and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer. Now, obviously, I'm not trying to say that if you complain, you know, you're going to fall over dead. But the point is that they complained so much. You got to remember, they complained after watching the Red Sea part, after manna coming down every day. I mean, these people were seeing phenomenal miracles that we think, oh, man, if I could just have one miracle like that, I would never complain about another thing. Well, yes, you would. And I would, too, because we seem to have a longer memory about our problems than we do about our blessings for some reason. So this is something that we can't wait to feel like doing. It's something we have to do on purpose and be aggressive about. And it's 23,000 of them fell dead in one day. They complained and complained and complained until it says the enemy got in the camp. And 23,000 of them fell dead from a plague in one day. Then in verses 3 through 5, going on to another subject now, talking about God who forgives everyone all of your iniquities, who heals each one all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, and I particularly like verse 5, who satisfies your mouth, your necessity, and desire at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagle, strong, overcoming, and soaring. So I love that God renews our youth. And you'll see in a little bit that Paul said that even though his outer man was decaying, his inner man was being renewed day by day. So we've got a lot of probably people in here today that are in your 20s, and you may not be overly concerned about age yet, but there will be a time when you won't be 20 anymore. Believe it or not, there will be a time when you will be 60 or 70 or 80. And right now you think that is so ancient, but it will sneak up on you faster than you think. So I want you to remember this, age is a number. Youth is a mindset. Age is just a number, but youth is a mindset. So no matter how many years you add to your age number, you can keep a youthful mindset, still be creative, still have vitality, still be doing great things for God. Amen? And so the scripture that Paul talks about is 2 Corinthians 4:16, and he says, therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear, though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is progressively being renewed day after day. Now let's talk about the first thing that we saw there where it says that he forgives all of our iniquities and he heals all of our diseases. Now, there's so much sickness in society today. But the good news is that God works in many, many, many different ways. And as long as we have him in our life, we always have the hope of getting better and better and better. And there are things that we don't know what to do about them, and there are things that we don't think we're going to get over, but then later on, years later, we look back and we think, my gosh, God did deliver me from that. He doesn't always do it by the means of what we would call a miracle, which means that there's no natural instrumentality, but even all the medical stuff that God provides today, I don't think we realize what a miracle It is. And trust me, none of those people who are such brilliant surgeons and brilliant doctors and all the treatments they've come up with, they didn't just get a bright idea one day and do that. All their creativity comes from God. And so, and then I always like to say this too, the good news is when you are no longer here, you are still somewhere. And I can promise you as a believer that if you don't get the total final fulfillment of your healing while you're right here on this earth, the minute you pass out of this realm into the next one, there's not going to be one thing that bothers you. No crying, no tears, no pain. So the bottom line is we are healed. Our bodies may be catching up with it, but that's a promise from God. And let's talk about this forgiveness of sins. Oh, my goodness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, all are justified and made upright with God. And all. We have some people watching from home today that you think all doesn't mean you. But it does. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, God loves you. And believe it or not, he's not even mad at you. He doesn't like what you've done to yourself through not following his commandments. But God is not like mad at you and doesn't want anything to do with you because you've done a lot of things wrong. Matter of fact, you're exactly the person that he sent his son to die for. And his arms are open wide to you today. I was thinking the other day, I was talking to God about some things that I felt like I'd done wrong, some behavior issues, and I was repenting and asking God to forgive me. And then just a few minutes later, I thought, you know what? It's so amazing when God forgives us, there's not even any kind of a smear or a stain or a smudge even left on our record. You know, if you think about maybe if you wrote something down wrong and you erased it, you could still tell that something was still there one time. But when God forgives our sins, they are gone. No stain, no record, no smudge. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. Isn't that amazing? Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice, not for me only, but for all who are oppressed. I want to just say a word today to people that are poor, you've been mistreated, you've been hurt, you've been abandoned, you've been abused, you feel like all your life you've been oppressed. Do you know what? God has got his eye on you, and he not only wants to take care of you and deliver you, but the Bible says that he will deal with the oppressors, and I love that. You know, we don't have to try to deal with our enemies. God will do it for us if we follow him. And you know, he's great at restoration. Whatever you feel that the enemy has stolen from you in your life, I can tell you that God will give it back to you multiplied many, 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 many times over. I love this scripture, 1 Samuel 2, 8 through 10. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and he lifts up the needy out of the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and to inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. I'm going to just skip to verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Against them he will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge all the people of the earth, and he will give strength and power to those that are anointed. Let me say again, no matter how mistreated you've been, God knows what you've gone through, and he's got a plan for your restoration. Keep your eyes on him and don't waste your time being angry at the people that hurt you. Instead, let God take care of all that. Now, verse 7 through 11, and verse 7 is something I want you to pay particular attention to, because this is going to kind of tell us why, with all the miracles that the Israelites saw, they still found so much to murmur about. I think we may read the Bible all of our life and miss this if somebody doesn't point it out. Verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Now, we would probably read that and think the Israelites were better off because, boy, they saw the great things that God could do. But that's really not the truth. He made his ways known to Moses. Moses knew God. The Israelites only knew his miracles, but they didn't know him. And you know what? We need to pray, God, teach me your ways. not just do this for me, do that for me, fix this, fix that, but God, teach me your ways. Would everybody watching today begin to pray that prayer? On your own, when you pray your prayers, God, teach me your ways. Because here's the thing to remember. God can do a miracle, but if I don't know him, if I don't know his ways, then I'm just going to need another miracle tomorrow and another miracle the next day. But if I know God's ways and I begin to follow his ways, then guess what? I'm not going to have nearly as many messes in my life, and I'm not going to need as many miracles all the time. So maybe we just need to take a break from the give me, give me, give me, give me, and say, Lord, teach me your ways. I want to know you. What did Paul pray in Philippians 3? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. He didn't say, I want to know what all you can do for me. He said, I want to know you. And a lot of you young girls are in the Mercy Home right now, and you're getting your life fixed together, and you're here to share with us today. You know, that's one of the best things. I know you come in and you have problems, and there's things that you need God to fix for you, and all kinds of things that need to be restored in your life, and God wants to do that. But don't just settle for God, do this for me, do that for me, fix this, fix that. Let's go beyond that to God, I want to know you. I want to know your ways. I want to know your character. I want to behave the way that you want me to behave. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy and loving kindness. He will not keep his anger forever, nor will he hold a grudge. Now, I'm not going to say that God doesn't ever get angry, because he does get angry at sin. But the thing is he's not an angry God. And I think a lot of people that have been raised by an angry parent, like I was and many of you were, it was so easy to make my dad mad. I mean, most of the time you didn't even really know what you did that made him mad, but you know, if he was mad, somehow or another, he found a way to make it your fault. And so I carried some of that into my relationship with God, and I just felt like that God was really hard to please. You know, that I had to just be so careful about everything, because if I made mistakes, he was going to be angry or not be pleased with me. I think more than feeling that God was angry with me, I just always doubted that he was actually really pleased with me. And it was a big step for me when I started to confess by faith, I believe that God is pleased with me. And see, what did he say to Jesus? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And he didn't say it once. He said it to him twice. Two different times that voice came out from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, we might think, well, yeah, sure, that was Jesus. He did everything right. But see, if we're in Jesus, come on now, if we're in him, then we're joint heirs with him, and whatever he got, we get. So God is not pleased with any of us today because we have this great, perfect, wonderful behavior, because we all know that we don't. But he's pleased with us because we want to grow, we want to learn, we want to hear. Some of you watching by TV today, or maybe you're, you know, watching on your computer, or you may be listening to this, you know, you may be thinking, well, you know, God is mad about this, and he's mad about that, and he's mad about something else. Well, God doesn't like the things that we do wrong in our life, but I'll tell you something else. He's glad that you're watching the program. He's glad that you cared enough to receive the word. And I think something that we need to do, and I've been thinking about this a lot, I think we need to take the time to celebrate our victories, no matter how small they are, rather than just spending all of our time thinking about what we're not and what we're not and what we didn't and what we can't. And so that's a good thing to remember. God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy and loving kindness toward us. Verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed his transgressions from us. God knows our frame. I love that. David prayed, he said, that he knows our frame. He knows there's nothing about you or I that surprises God. He didn't see you make a mistake and he said, oh no. Well, I didn't know you were going to do that. Wow, I can't believe you're that bad. I mean, God knows everything that we're going to do wrong before we ever do it. Every word we've not yet spoken. Every thought that has not yet gone through our mind. And he loves us unconditionally. One of my favorite parts in Scripture is in Hebrews, where the Bible says that Jesus understands our weaknesses and our infirmities, because he's been tempted just like we have, yet he did not sin. You know, the Bible says that, what is man that you're mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Why would God have his mind on us all day? What are we? Who are we that God would be mindful of us? There's a scripture that actually says we are just like a puff of smoke, a mist of vapor. There's Joyce. I mean, that's what it says. It says, you know, it's talking about people who say, well, tomorrow we're going to do this and tomorrow we're going to do that. And he says, instead of being presumptuous about what you think you're going to do tomorrow, you should remember that you're just a puff of smoke and a wisp of vapor, a blade of grass here today and gone tomorrow. So in light of God, we're absolutely nothing. And yet, God says, I've got my mind on you all the time. I've got a plan for you. I'm thinking about you. And I have something good in store for you. So this keeps us humble. God, I don't deserve anything, but I'm so grateful for all of your benefits in my life. Amen? God thinks about us all the time. Now, I can already see that I'm not going to get finished with this, which is not unusual for me. But verses 19 through 22 talks about some more really great things about blessing God, blessing him everywhere, bless, 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 bless. And I really like this scripture. It says, bless the Lord, all of his works in the places of his dominion. Verse 20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So let me just finish this up today by saying that each one of us have angels. We have guardian angels. We hear about them all of our life. But we don't really, maybe we don't even really believe that they're there. But we all have guardian angels. And this scripture says that angels listen to the voice of God's word. So let me put it plainer. They don't hearken to our complaints. You know, I'm not going to put my angels to work for me by complaining. But when I confess the word of God, when I say, God, I believe you're working in my life, no matter how difficult my circumstances are, now my angels can go to work for me and help me. And you know, when we pray, if you look even at Daniel, when he prayed, God sent an angel from heaven to bring the answer to those prayers. And that angel had to do warfare in the heavenlies because there were evil spirits fighting against him bringing that answer. And Daniel continued to pray. But the Bible says from the first day that you set yourself to fast and pray, the answer was sent. So when we pray for God to do something in our life, to deliver us, to help us, and we don't get an answer when we think we should, maybe it's a long time before that answer comes, that's when we need to be careful about keeping our confession right and saying, God, I believe that you're working in my life. And so I counted them up. I think there's about 12 different lessons here in this scripture. God's always good. He's merciful. He forgives. He heals. He redeems. He's for the oppressed. He's not angry. He understands us. Our decisions affect future generations. We didn't get around to that one. Remember his benefits. Don't complain. So look at all you've learned here in just 25 minutes. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Now, I'm glad that you joined us today, and I have an offer for you today. We talked about how God forgives us. But you know, there's a scripture that says that if we don't forgive others, then God can't forgive us. What God gives to us, he expects us to give away. And so I've written a wonderful book called Do Yourself a Favor and Forgive. You know, we think when we forgive our enemies that we're doing them a favor, but we're really not. Many of them don't even care that you forgave them. But you do yourself a favor when you forgive because you get rid of all that poison in your soul that's actually stealing your life. You know what happens when somebody hurts us and we spend our life hating them? We're giving them permission to keep hurting us every day of our life. But when you forgive somebody, you take away the permission for them to continue hurting you. And you end up being the one that has victory. And so today, we're offering you this book. I can't think of anybody who don't need this book. We all need this book. And we're offering it to you for your gift to the ministry of any amount. We trust you to just do your very best. And all the proceeds from the sale of this book today is going to go toward our Hand of Hope outreach, which reaches out to the poor and the needy all around the world. So you can get some help for yourself, and in the process, you can help somebody else. So remember that we love you, we care about you, and forgiveness today can open the door to true peace in your life. Thank you for being with us.